Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer. How are you doing? I'm your Chief Sales and Profit Evangelist, if you will. Thank you for listening in. We show you how to maximize your profits, your business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. You can check out the website at bettersalesandprofitsnow.com. That's bettersalesandprofitsnow.com. We want you to listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Again, thank you for listening in. If you have a question, certainly you can give us a call at 646-716-7099. Again, the phone number is 646-716-7099. And the Blog Talk Radio URL website, if you want to listen live without calling, you can check us out at www.blogtalkradio.com/E3C. That's blogtalkradio.com/E3C. We got a really exciting program. We're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, technology, social media, the new media stuff. So the world has changed. How we communicate is changing. The old methods, I call them old school methods, cold calling, direct mail marketing, advertising, trade shows, they don't work, less effective today. Cutting edge companies need to adapt. Some people, some companies are, some are not. The key to success is to attract prospective buyers, not try to sell them, but attract them, make them want to buy from you. So some new methods like blogs, podcasts, webinars, news releases, articles, social networking, that's the answer. That's what we're going to talk about. Mike Volpe, VP of Marketing of HubSpot, and you can check out the website at www.hubspot.com. We're going to talk about how entrepreneurs can embrace this new technology. Mike is VP of marketing, as I said. He's responsible for marketing, communications, lead generation, very important. Got to have a lead if you want to make a sale, partner marketing, product marketing, and HubSpot relies heavily on blogging, the social media, the viral content, search engine optimization, SEO for you guys in the know, and pay-per-click marketing. And this is really good. He writes a Internet marketing blog. I always read it. Really good stuff on there. And he hosts nice events like SEM, Social Media Club of Boston, the Publicity Club, the Boston Product Management Association, and he does a lots of webinars. I've attended them all. Well, maybe not all, but most of them. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. How are you?
This is my favorite subject. So we're gonna
I can tell.
Sit back and enjoy the conversation. Mike, what is your background? How'd you get started?
So I've been doing marketing at technology companies for about 10 years. And before that, I worked in investment banking and finance. But the investment banking and finance that I did was for technology companies. And so after doing that for a couple years, I sort of figured out that for me, the finance thing wasn't really what I wanted to do long term. But I was fascinated with all these companies that I'd been working with. Because I really like the fast pace and sort of the nature of change in the technology industry. And it just seemed like, you know, let's try a different role and move into a technology company. So I started doing marketing, and I just fell in love with it, really.
And you're doing a good job with HubSpot.
Well,
you're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, we like to think we work hard and do some cool things. And I think from a marketing perspective and a sales perspective and a lot of perspectives, I think we're pretty happy so far with everything that's going on at HubSpot.
So how did you get started with HubSpot? How did you discover this company?
So I actually first found HubSpot. I'd been at the company I was at before, a software company, doing marketing there for about 4 years. And it was time to do something more entrepreneurial. I wanted to join a startup. And I just started talking to a bunch of friends and things like that. And through my own network, I actually found a couple people that were doing something interesting, and they were the two co-founders of HubSpot, Brian Halligan and Dharmesh Shah. And this is about 2 years ago now when I first found them. The company had really just gotten started, and I ended up joining a few months after that. So I've been here about a year and a half. So when I joined, we were about five people, and we've grown to almost 50 people now. It's been a while.
Wow.
It's a long and crazy journey.
Well, we're definitely going to talk a little bit about HubSpot. But what I want to do is talk about social media, new media, this new technology. And one of the key components of my business is encouraging entrepreneurs, business owners to embrace technology. So let's just start off, because a lot of times the small business people, they say, why should I do this? Let's talk about what are some of the challenges that that they face, business owners, entrepreneurs face today in terms of just doing business.
Well, I mean, I think for most small businesses, there's a number of things going on, and I think for any small business, the most critical challenge, and this is kind of why you've been able to build your business, is around marketing and sales. To me, so it's acquiring new customers. Any company that's acquiring new customers and growing their sales, there's got to be some level of business there. You may have some operational difficulties you need to figure out. You may have some other things you need to figure out. But to me, especially for a small business, the key thing, the key metric for success is, are you, building your business? Are your sales growing? Is your lead flow growing and things like that? And are you doing that in a profitable way? And then, so if that's really the core challenge for a small business, you need to think about, well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to grow my sales? How am I going to grow my lead flow? And what I think is really, really neat today is that a number of things have changed in the last, kind of gradually over the last 5 or 10 years, and are changing more and more rapidly, that really favor small businesses. So I actually think it's a really good time to start a small business today. And those things are that it used to be, to grow marketing and sales, you'd have to be either sort of buy your way in with expensive advertising programs.
Yes.
Or you need to kind of hire an expensive PR firm and like beg your way in order to get some coverage.
Yeah. I
right?
feel you on that, but yeah.
So it's like all these big companies that had huge budgets and huge brands, they could afford to do lots of marketing, right? But today it's totally the opposite. So the internet and Google and social media has really kind of sliced and diced the entire world of media. And then you have, folks like yourselves, very small companies can have a live radio show with a recorded podcast afterwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Hello.
It used to be, in order to have a radio show, you had to have a radio studio, right? So
and
things have changed a lot.
Thousands of dollars a month.
Yeah, right? The amount that technology has done, and really what that's done is it's made it possible for very small businesses to become like a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a publisher and you're your own marketer. So you're not calling these radio stations and begging them to interview you, right? You just started your own radio station.
Yeah, embracing
and
technology.
And so you can kind of, you're using this technology, again, to benefit your business. So it really comes down to, using all these things and this transformation in marketing and this transformation that's really affected small businesses. So the way we like to think about it is that a lot of the, what you call sort of the old school techniques are outbound marketing. So it's things that you're spending money on and, spreading your message out to the market, and you're sort of, lobbing things out to people that may or may not want to get them. So when you cold call someone, they may or may not be interested in talking to you. Usually they're not, right? Same thing with direct mail and email.
The old cold call. Yep.
Yeah, I think most people find those annoying, right? Most people throw out their direct mail. Most people have spam filters on their email. So it's really hard to reach people today. But what's neat about it is, you've got people that tune into this show, right? And they
Absolutely.
Love it. And they're huge fans. And they found this show because this is exactly what they want. And they come back. And probably if you don't do it for a few days or a week, they probably email you and say, hey, Ken, what happened to the show, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Thousands upon thousands of people download these shows. But definitely.
Hmm.
Yeah, and so I had to think of some creative ways of doing it. I've been there, Mike. I've been the cold call, the knocking on the door, the picking up the phone and telemarketing. I call it smiling and dialing. Sending out postcards, sending out letters, direct mail letters, and thinking, did you get my letter? No, can you send another one? Oh, God, okay, it'll cost me, more money. And it's just so ineffective. I mean, you call a person, you get a voicemail. Good luck if you can reach the person. So I had to think of new creative ways to get to people and attract people to me. So
well, and when you think about it too, let's say you were to buy, a list of, 2,000 small businesses that fit some criteria that you thought made them a good fit for what you do.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
That's one way to go about it. But a lot of those people, yeah. But what you really want is people that have like a sales and marketing problem, right? Because that's kind of what you help with, right? And helping
Absolutely.
Them grow their business. And you know what those people are doing? They're going to Google and they're typing in small business sales challenges, right? Or they're searching for blogs that have to do with how to grow a small business. Or they're in iTunes and they're looking for podcasts that have to do with small business growth or small business sales, right?
Right.
And so in order to get found by those people, because those are the ones that have a problem and know they have a problem, and they're trying to find a solution to it.
And that's who you're trying to work with.
Exactly. Yeah, the people that know they have a problem and they're trying to find a solution to it. So I think, it's all the things that you're doing, you know, we like to call inbound marketing. Because you're making sure to produce content and getting found by all the people that have a problem, right? And they're you know, trying to find a solution to it. And I think you in particular are doing a great job around, you know, all the content that you create and the podcast and the blogging and the websites and all that stuff, right? And you and I, originally connected through some webinars that HubSpot held, but then we connected on Twitter, right? Because you're very active in social media too.
Right, right. So do you have to be a geek? A technical person to really embrace this, what we call inbound marketing?
So I would definitely, confess that I do think I'm a little bit of a geek, and I'm especially like a marketing geek, but I don't think you have to be a geek to be successful at this stuff. I mean, would you consider yourself a geek?
Not really. I consider myself to be an entrepreneur, a business owner that says, okay, I need to reach some new people, need to increase my leads, I want better sales, I want better clients, and so what can I do? How can I use this new technology to be more profitable, more effective, more productive? And how can I make a sale? And how can I impress people and get to them instead of being stand in line and be the next consultant/coach that want to do business with you? You've got to find some way, some uniqueness that you're doing to make people stand up and say, "Oh, that's interesting. Let's talk."
Yeah, and I think so. You know, if you don't consider yourself a geek, you've been able to figure all this stuff out. So, I mean, certainly I think, 5 or 10 years ago, there were a lot of things online and on the web that were, you needed to really understand, how to write some code and things like that to get it to work. But today, it's super easy to start a blog. It's super easy to, get involved in Facebook or Twitter or things like that. So I think there's a ton of tools out there that are free and easy to use if you're just willing to kind of get over that initial, perhaps, fear of jumping in and just getting started.
Mike, I just had to say, I don't want to go out of business. I can't drive around and spend a lot of money. I've got to be profitable, and how can I use technology? And it's basically you have to adapt and survive, because if you don't, if you continue to do the same things you're doing, you're going to get the same things you've gotten.
Yeah, and I think that you mentioned not driving around. I think that really kind of breaks it down in an interesting way, because most small business owners, they do a lot of business face to face,
right?
And that's good, and that face to face relationship can be very, very powerful, but it's not something you can get a lot of leverage out of, because you can only go to so many receptions and business networking events, right? You can only go see so many people in a day. But what if you could take that conversation that you just had with someone, last night at a business networking event, and you maybe talked to, two or three people and had a detailed conversation with them? What if you could take that conversation with them that totally, convinced them how interesting and compelling and helpful you can be, and you could put that conversation online, and instead of two or three people seeing it, what if 1,000 or 10,000 people could see it, right? Or even 100 people. It's just you get so much more leverage out of all of this, right? So here you and I are having this conversation. This could easily be a conversation we're having at a business networking event, but you're basically taking that and finding a way to share it with a lot more people so that more people in the world can hear about what you do, who you are, your passion for what you do, and how you can help people.
Okay, let's define inbound marketing and then maybe talk a little bit about the people that don't know what these tools are.
So
outbound marketing, that's the old school stuff. And what's an example of outbound marketing?
So, examples of outbound marketing, anything that's like basically annoying or interruptive is the way I think to think about it, right? So cold calling, emailing gigantic lists, especially when it's just, people you don't know, direct mail, even, print advertising and more and more, I think, other things like that are just sort of, you know, you're reaching out to the market. They're, you know, they tend not to be very targeted, and you know, it's not, it's you're reaching out to people and you're hoping that they're going to come back and respond to you.
Yeah.
And then on the other side is the inbound marketing, and this is the stuff that's really, really effective. And this is everything from search engine optimization to blogging to social media, and you know, and within blogging, I would also include, you know, like video blogging and video podcasting and audio podcasting and audio blogging, right? Things like that. Mm-hmm. And the combination of all of those things, where you're not really reaching out to people, you're just sort of producing a bunch of content and a bunch of relationships, and then you're relying on people being able to find you. And so it's like it's more inbound. So you're basically pulling the people in, and the word we like to use to describe it is attraction. So
right.
you're leveraging, you're creating all this content in order to attract people into your business.
Okay, so it seems like that's a lot of stuff to learn. How long does it take to get people started, and what should they do first?
Yeah, so I think it's one of those things where you it takes a lifetime to become an expert, but you can become a novice very quickly. Right.
Okay.
So I don't even necessarily consider myself an expert at a lot of these things because there's always more to learn. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can get started pretty quickly. And so I think I think a couple of the ways to get started is I would probably think about starting a blog. It's pretty easy.
Define blog for people that don't know what a blog is. Weblog.
Great. So, I mean, think about a blog as sort of the new version of like a newsletter. So a lot of small businesses maybe have a printed newsletter or maybe an email newsletter. And
mm-hmm.
think about a blog as sort of a more modern version of those. And what's great about blogging is there's a number of benefits above and beyond a newsletter. So you get to share interesting content about your business and give tips and tricks to your customer base and your prospects. But what's great about a blog is it's you can subscribe to it in a couple ways. So usually there's an email subscription to a blog, but there's also this thing called RSS. And basically what RSS is it's a way for people to subscribe to lots of different blogs and read them all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does, combined with posting the web page on the blog, gives your blog a lot more power in terms of being able to reach a lot more people than like a traditional newsletter would. So because people can not only subscribe by email, but they can also subscribe by RSS, and because the web pages of your blog get indexed by search engines, you can actually get found by a lot more people than you can with like a traditional newsletter. So
that is critical, because I always tell people, I said, if you want to figure out where you're at in your web presence or your digital image, type in your name in Google or your favorite search engine and see what kind of results you get. If you get no results, I guess you don't have a web presence, so put your company in and see what you get. And see
I think you're right.
Above though. And then put in the keywords that describe your business, what you think describes your business, and see if you're on the first page above the fold. See what kind of results you get there.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you start with your company name, your business name, and you know, if no one can find you when they search on your company name, then you know, you've really got some work to do. But the next step, you're absolutely right, is use those more generic keywords, because what you want is people that haven't heard of your company to be able to find you, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the key is.
It would be interesting. I always say, if you don't know what your keywords are, find out what your competitor's doing.
Yeah.
And see what they're doing, and then you know, just copy them.
Yeah, that's definitely one of many interesting ways to kind of get started. Yeah.
What about and the reason why you want to do a blog or a podcast is that it helps you with your web presence. You actually start getting, you know, Google and all the search engines love podcasts, they love blogs, and you can get on the first page if you do it well and in the right ways, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think, you know, the key to being successful with inbound marketing is publishing, you know, content. And so let's maybe talk a little bit about search engine optimization in particular, and talk about how the search engines work. So
and then
we want
to give a quiz after this, right?
That's right. Yeah, there's
we'll do
definitely
an online
quiz. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, well, there's Well, and we could talk a little bit about Website Grader too, which is kind of a free site evaluation. So it's sort of like a quiz for your website, but it's much easier to take.
Oh yeah.
So so for search engine optimization, the way to think about it is that there's two major factors that determine what you want to understand is how Google decides who to put on the first page when people search for something. One set of factors is around what's called on-page SEO, and those are the things that happen on each of your web pages. And so it's things like the most important ones are what's in the title tag. So there's this thing in the metadata called the title tag, which appears at the very, very top of your browser, and that's the page title of each page. That's really important. And then Google also looks at any of the keywords in the URL, and then also the words and the content of the page. And there's a bunch of different things that they look at on the page, but just think about, you know, the more the page says about certain keywords, the more Google thinks the page is about those keywords. Now, all that stuff together, that's all the on-page SEO, so the things that happen on your website. And that's about 25% of the reason why you would rank for a given keyword. So what's interesting about this is the other 75% has basically to do with, and this is called off-page SEO, so stuff that happens off of your website and on the rest of the internet. And that basically has to do with the number of links into your site. So the more people that are linking to you and the more powerful those links are, the higher you're going to rank in the search engines. So, you know, for instance, if, you know, my sister's personal blog links to HubSpot, Google sees that link and they say, oh, okay, great, somebody linked to HubSpot. HubSpot probably is somewhat interesting. Okay, that's kind of cool. But if CNN.com, if their homepage linked to HubSpot, that's going to get a lot more respect from Google. So those links are really what's important. And what you want to think about doing is making sure that each page of your website has the right things in terms of the on-page SEO. So the page title, the content of the page, things like that, having the right keywords. And then what you really want to do is drive more links into your site. And the best way to do that is to produce content that people want to link to. So, you know, if you write
How do you know what content that you can write or produce and make?
Well,
you know,
yeah, I mean, I think, well, obviously it has to have something to do with your business, right? Because you only want to rank for keywords that are relevant to your business. And then really what you want to think about is not like, can I produce three articles that are all going to attract, you know, 50 or 100 links, but maybe over the course of a year, if I blog twice a week, that's 100 articles, right? Mm-hmm. So out of those 100 articles, a couple of them have to be interesting. So it's a little bit more of kind of we sort of recommend that you sort of just produce a bunch of content, and some of it some people will find interesting, because it's a little hard to predict what people will find interesting. Just like all the movie studios and TV stations have a hard time figuring out what people are going to like, and they're experts at trying to produce content people like, right? Like some movies totally bomb and some TV shows totally bomb and some are successful. You kind of need to think about the strategy the same way they do. So they produce a whole bunch of movies, and some of them they make $100 million and some of them they lose $10 million, but hopefully they win more than they lose. So what's great about blog articles is they're really, really cheap to produce. So you just produce, you know, blog once or twice a week, and over the course of a year you're going to have a lot of articles, and some of those articles will do well online and people will link to them and they'll find them and they'll like them.
So is it really practical to – most people say, I got a blog, but you know, how much do I have to write? And I tell them, you know, you could write a little bit. You can maybe comment on somebody else's content, and that's, you know, good content for you. It's new content. That's okay, too. What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
you don't have
well,
to
I think,
write
Well, I think all that's right. So we talked a little bit about SEO, so let's now – this is a great question. So let's talk about blogging, right? And the way I like to think about blogging is there's three components to it. So one is just reading other blogs. So you can't be active, just like you can't, you know, have the show and write your blog and things like that without paying attention to what's going on in the world. You need to be reading blogs that are relevant to your industry. And so you need to stay informed. Then the second component is commenting on other blogs. So even before you maybe start your own blog, you know, read some other blogs, comment on some other people's blogs. And what that does is sort of gives you, you know, a baseline understanding of how the interaction in the blogosphere works. And, you know, what good comments are, what people like to hear, what people don't like to hear, things like that, so you can start to get involved. And then I think the final step is you know, writing your own blog. And what I think is interesting is it's actually, once you get into it, it's much easier to write some blog articles than you might think, especially for a small business owner, because what I love about small business owners is they're super passionate about their business, right? You don't quit your job at the big company and go off on your own and start a small business unless you're passionate about what you're doing. And what you really need to think about doing is just taking that passion and turning all that passion into blog articles. And so usually if there's a couple places to look. So if you think about the questions people have asked you about your business in the past week or month and what your answers have been to those questions, those are really, really interesting blog articles potentially. And so a lot of times I like to tell people, check your sent items in your email, right? And if you look at some of the longer emails you've sent, you've probably gotten questions from people about, well, you know, tell me about, you know, how do you maximize a small business's profitability or something like that? And, you know, Ken, you've probably sent somebody a two-paragraph response to that question in the past month, right?
Well, I document everything. I put it down in writing and then
yeah,
keep it because that'll
there
be
you
a
go.
Blog article or something or a podcast. Well,
and that's exactly right. So you could use that as the subject of a podcast, and you could talk about it, or maybe it's a blog article or whatever. But I think more small business owners are actually producing content that could be blog articles than they think, right?
And they
you just need to think about what's all the stuff you're doing and just turn that into a blog article. It's not that hard.
So is it expensive to – we talk about blogs. Let's talk a little bit about podcasts, but overall view I want to ask about, you know, time and expense. But what about podcasts? What are your thoughts on that?
I think they're great. I think, you know, we found for our business at HubSpot, we do a lot of, you know, blogs, and then we do a lot of videos. So we've got a bunch of videos on YouTube, and we do webinars once a month, and we're doing, we actually do a live video stream show every Friday as well. We just started. So we haven't done as many podcasts for our market, but I think for, depending who you're serving, so if you think that your target market is doing some podcasting and listening to podcasts, then absolutely it's a fantastic thing to do. And there's tons. I listen to podcasts on the way into work, so I think it's great. I think it's a really, really good technique. I think any type of content, so, you know, text, video, audio, just, you know, whatever you're comfortable with and whatever you think is appropriate for your business, just produce it. It's going to help.
So let's talk about the cost. Is it expensive to embrace this new technology, this new media, the social media stuff?
No, I think what's great about all this stuff is it can be very inexpensive. Obviously, if you want to spend more money on it and get more and more professional, you can, right? So if you start, you know, podcasting, for instance, over time, you could buy a whole bunch of equipment and make it a little bit better. But to just get started, it's really cheap. You know, I think... the one thing I would recommend to folks as much as possible is if you're going to have a blog, I would try as much as possible to have it on a URL that belongs to you. So you can use whatever blogging software you want, right? But make sure that the URL that your blog is on is a URL that you bought. And that just makes it a lot more easy in the future to redirect it or to change it or things like that, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And so what about time? People say, hey, I'm trying to run a business. I really don't have time to do this new media stuff, this podcast, this blogging and stuff. What's your response to that?
It's kind of like saying, well, so you don't have time to close deals and sell people? You don't have time to develop new leads for your business, you know? If you're in the standpoint of your business and you have too much business and you're turning away new business, then this is probably not something you want to prioritize your time on, right? But if you're looking to grow your business, instead of spending a ton of money on Yellow Pages ads or a ton of money on radio or print ads or
all these other
things you could be doing, it's like take some time and do this. It's important for your business to be able to grow.
Right. And so what are some of the key steps, things that we should be doing to be successful in this new media stuff? Like, did you talk about blogging, maybe some podcasting? Let's talk about Twitter for a second.
Yeah.
What about Twitter? What are your thoughts on Twitter?
I think Twitter's great. We have received numerous important PR mentions in, you know, key blogs and other websites, specifically because of relationships and things that we've done on Twitter. So I think what's great about Twitter is, you know, each message you publish is only 140 characters. So let's maybe back up. Twitter is like a let's define things for people, right? So Twitter is what's called a microblogging service, and so it's basically a bunch of updates that you can publish that are 140 characters or less because it's made to be compatible with text messages on cell phones, and it's sort of combining, it's kind of like a gigantic chat room, a gigantic public chat room is one way to think about it. So you develop relationships and you can be friends with people on Twitter. So like Ken, you know, you and I are friends, we follow each other, and that means I get your updates and you get my updates.
Mm-hmm.
And you just publish these updates. And so after, you know, not too long on Twitter, through developing some relationships and interacting with people and discussing things with them, I've got, you know, 700 people that follow me on Twitter. And that means every time I put out a message. You know, like this morning, just when we started this interview, I actually put up a link and I said, hey, I'm going to be doing this, you know, live, you know, internet radio interview. Here's a link, right? So maybe there's a couple folks that follow me on Twitter that are actually listening right now.
Hello there. And,
yeah, hey, there you go. Hello to the Twitterati, yeah. So what's great about Twitter is that you can develop relationships with folks that are, you know, in your industry and also cover your industry. So there's a bunch of bloggers that cover, you know, marketing technology companies that follow me on Twitter because they like what I've had to say sometimes. And I often, a lot of times they'll ask questions, I'll answer those questions. And we've gotten, you know, press coverage in ZDNet and a couple other, you know, PR-focused blogs and things like that because of those relationships. So I think Twitter can be a super powerful thing, as can all social networks. So like Facebook, LinkedIn, I think those are all great things that people should engage in and start to get, you know, try to get started.
It's interesting you mentioned Facebook and Twitter. Barack Obama, I guess he's captured the Democratic nomination for president, and he has embraced technology. I wrote an article about how he's done. He's using the Twitter, the Facebook. Yeah, I think he's got over 41,000 people he follows. There are about 40,000 people following him. What's your thoughts on Barack Obama and how he has embraced the social media, and what lessons can small business people take from that?
You know, so Barack has done a phenomenal job of leveraging social media. Part of it is because I think that his, you know, support base is really strong in people who use social media a lot in their lives. So I think that that benefits him a lot. But he's also done a really, really good job of engaging people in all the right ways. So, you know, I think actually his Twitter follower list has actually exploded in the past few days. I think it's up to almost 70,000.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm dating myself. Yeah.
I know. I know. Well, you checked it like 4 days ago, right?
No, it's unbelievable.
And obviously, there's been a lot of press this week because of the convention, right? So,
right.
You know, that's really exploded. And then you think about, you know, his announcement of, you know, his VP candidate, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gathered through. So he announced that he was going to, you know, if you wanted to, you could get an update either on Twitter or by email or by a text message to your cell phone. They're not releasing the numbers, but there was an article in TechCrunch that talked about Nielsen and how they had some tracking data on cell networks, and they estimated that 2.9 million people got that text message. So he has – isn't that unbelievable? So he has 2.9 million phone numbers. It's the largest text message-based marketing campaign in history, right? He's got 2.9 million phone numbers. You know, do you think those people are going to get a text message on election day reminding them to go vote? Right? Of course they are.
I would think so. And he's,
right.
He's got
I mean,
Facebook,
how great is that, right?
Right. And he's got Facebook. He's got over a million plus, I guess, supporters or friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
He's doing podcasting also.
He's
got video podcasting, audio podcast, probably more video. What else is he's got the Twitter stuff. I mean, he's got a blog.
Well, he's even got his own. So they also developed his own social network tool, the my.barackobama.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're one of his supporters, you can log in there. And then there's things that you can do. So you can basically volunteer through this site. And you can say, hey, you know, I'm in, you know, I'm Massachusetts. I really support, you know, Obama. I'm a huge fan, and I want to help. And then what they'll do is they'll actually give you access to, like, lists of voters, and then you can call them. So, you know, you can call them, you can email them, you can produce content. They have blog articles and stuff like that you can write in your own blog and places to link to. And they just give you all these tools that if you're one of his supporters to be able to engage and to, you know, be able to help the cause, right? And what's great about that is he's able to leverage and get a lot more people to help him out than other politicians have been able to do, because a lot more used to be you had to go to a meeting and, you know, go down to the local office and get this list and do these things. But this is, he's doing it all online, and it's basically self-service. He's got this, you know, huge, you know, throes of supporters that are working for free to help spread his message. It's great.
So what lessons can we take from Barack's experience and his results?
Yeah, I mean, obviously most small businesses aren't going to get, you know, a million fans on Facebook and 60,000 followers on Twitter and things like that, right? Because, you know, he's obviously a very well-known politician, and he's in the media all the time. So, you know, it's going to be a very, very different game for small businesses. But for a small business, you also don't, you know, Barack's going to need a lot of vote, tens of millions of votes in order to get elected, right? For a small business, you probably only need, you know, dozens or hundreds of customers to be successful. So for a small business, you want to think about for your individual market. So maybe it's geographically based, maybe it's based on, you know, certain needs of people or certain types of companies that you serve. You need to think about how can you get known within that small niche. And within that niche that you're serving, you want to become sort of the Barack Obama of that niche. And how do you do that? Well, you really need to engage with people and share your passion for your business. So if you produce, you know, pottery for grandmothers who have four cats, right? You want to think
write
about
that down.
Well,
that's a critical
yeah,
one.
Exactly. It's like that's an interesting niche. There's probably, you know, 500 of those in the U.S. or something, right? And so you want to think about, well, what's the content that they're going to love? And so whatever the content is for that market or for whatever market you serve, you want to think about, well, what can you do to engage that audience, right? So what Barack has done a phenomenal job of is people love to hear him speak, and they love to read what he writes, and they love to see him on video. And so he's got this really, really engaging content that people love. And so you need to think about what is that content that's going to engage the audience that you're serving, and then how do you reach that audience? How do you, you know, help them find you? How do you get published in all the right places? So, you know, if you're whatever your small business is, there's a couple things you should do. One is you should start a group on both LinkedIn and Facebook that has to do with your local business. So, you know, if you sell, you know, the classic small niche example of, you know, wrenches for left-handed plumbers, right? You should have a left-handed plumbers group on Facebook. You should have a left-handed plumbers group on LinkedIn. And you should use those groups and post questions in the discussion forums to get people to interact there. And then once you have a bunch of left-handed plumbers talking to each other, then you can produce videos that maybe show them like, oh, well, you know, here's how you would do things or whatever it is for, you know, that audience. But whatever your target audience is, produce content that's interesting to them and then put things into social networks so they can find you.
Wow, I like that. That's a good idea. So successes. What are some successes that that you like to share? Maybe your HubSpot.
Yeah, so we'll talk about a few things, and I'll keep them, you know, because we don't like to, you know, just, you know, talk about all the stuff that we do, because we really think it's all about engaging small businesses and sharing these tips with small businesses to help make small businesses successful. But there's a couple things that also like are cool tools that small businesses can use and are free. So we're big believers in producing a bunch of free content that's going to draw people into your business. So we've done a number of things. So we have our blog, and there's a bunch of tips on our blog. So that's blog.hubspot.com, and people can read those, check those out, and that's all free. We've produced hundreds of articles. They're all pretty good, I think. But then there's a couple other tools. So like Website Grader. So if you go to websitegrader.com, that's something that we produced, and we put that out not quite a year and a half ago. And so far, over 400,000 people have graded their website there. And so this is an example of, like, all we did was produce, you know, a cool, free, interactive tool. And what you do is you type in your website and click the Go button. And then within about a minute, it produces a report about your website. And it gives you a grade, you know, out of 1 to 100. And then it gives you a bunch of tips on how to improve your website. And we spent a total of only a couple $1,000s to promote this thing, and we've gotten 400,000 people to use it. And the reason that is because people started to use it and they liked it. And then we talked to people in social media about it, and we said, you know, like, we go to LinkedIn and we answer questions. People ask a question about, oh, how can I improve my website? And we'll give them four or five tips and an answer. We'll say, oh, and by the way, you should go to Website Grader and run a report for your website. And then they do, and they like it, and then they tell their friends, and they email people, and they post links to it, and they blog about it. So it's really kind of spread kind of virally online. And I'd say that so there's two maybe lessons for small businesses in this. Is one is it's a free tool, and you should use it to evaluate your own website. So you should go to websitegrader.com and run a report for your website. But then the second thing is think about what you can do that's like Website Grader for your market. So is there some cool, interesting, free thing that you can produce that's going to really kind of engage your prospects? So HubSpot likes to talk to people because we have software that helps you improve your web presence. We like to talk to people that are thinking about their website and how to improve your website. So it made perfect sense for us to develop a free tool that helps you evaluate your website, right? So, you know, you got to think about examples for whatever business you're engaged in. Could you do something like that? And how can you get, you know, 5,000-10,000 people to use your free tool? Because that's going to help sort of spread the message of your business. So I'd say that's definitely kind of one example of something we've done that I think works and has a lot of applicability to small businesses.
And you have a couple other tools that are...
Yeah. I mean, Website Grader works so well, and we believe in this stuff so much. We've done a couple other ones. We also have this tool called Press Release Grader. So if you go to pressreleasegrader.com, yeah. So that one's pretty new. It's only a few months old. But we've already had, I think, more than 10,000 press releases graded, which is great.
I think you're going to scare the public relations people in the industry there.
Well, you know, it sometimes it does. If they understand how to use it, though, they're okay with it. But, yeah, I think, you know, anytime people are – and, frankly, Website Grader actually scared some of the SEO, you know, consultants out there too, because they were worried, oh, you know, what if nobody wants to pay me anymore? And really, these tools are evaluation tools, so they give you some advice on how to improve. But, obviously, a person who knows what they're doing is obviously going to always be better than software. And so the really smart folks, like the smart PR folks, use Press Release Grader to make their job easier so they could focus on the stuff that's more complicated and actually, you know, a human can add a lot more value. So we've got Press Release Grader too, which is new. So if you're doing press releases for your business or any sort of news articles about your business, you can cut and paste them, put them in there, and it does an evaluation of the text and the links and things like that. So that's useful. And then just actually yesterday, you'll like this one, Ken. You might not even know about this because we only launched it less than 24 hours ago. We did Twitter Grader.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you go to Twitter and we're starting to put everything on grader.com. So if you go to twitter.grader.com, you can type in your Twitter username and it gives you a grade, 1 to 100. And the way that works is it looks at how big your network is and then how big the network of your network is. So it sort of gives you a sense of your overall power on Twitter. So, you know, there's obviously, like, some celebrities that are, like, ranked in the top five, like Kevin Rose from Dig, and, like, I think Michael Arrington from TechCrunch is up there,
Mike,
and those guys.
Are you in there?
I'm in there. I think my grade is in the mid-80s or so.
Okay.
So I'm okay out of 100, so it's okay, and I think I'm number – you know, there's, like, 6,500 people that have done that in the first, you know, 18 hours, if you believe that. So we only launched it yesterday, and the only thing, Ken, we did to promote Twitter Grader was, you know, three or four of us Twittered about it. That was it. We haven't done a blog post. We haven't done anything else. And there's already, you know, probably at this point, probably 7,000 people that have used it.
Okay. So what does HubSpot do? What are you guys good at?
So HubSpot, we produce software for small and medium-sized businesses to help them with inbound marketing. And so our software helps you with search engine optimization. So we've got a bunch of keyword tools, link tools, SEO tools. We help companies with our software helps with blogging and publishing a website. So we have a content management system where you can publish a website and a blog. We have tools to help you capture leads. So you can build landing pages and lead forms and capture leads. And then we have a whole bunch of analytics and intelligence underneath all these things to help you measure your progress within social media and how you're doing in social media, measure your progress of your website in terms of SEO, measure how your blog is doing. We have a bunch of tools that tell you each individual blog article, how those are doing, and maybe give you suggestions on other blog articles you could write on different topics that might be successful. And then analytics around all of your leads. So where are your leads coming from? Which leads are more highly qualified than others? What those leads have done on your website? How many pages they've viewed? Things like that. What they've downloaded? All sorts of things like that. So you can think about it as like everything we've talked about today in terms of inbound marketing, a software system to help you do all of those things. And that's what HubSpot does.
Wow. And what makes HubSpot so unique?
Well, I think for small and medium-sized businesses, a key challenge is you don't have typically a lot of technical expertise and a lot of time in order to create a lot of tools. So a lot of the things we talked about today, like you could think about having a blog, a podcast, a website, doing some SEO, doing some stuff in social media, and for every one of those subjects, there's probably one or two tools that you might use to help you manage your presence in terms of all those things. And very quickly, you've got 5 or 10 or 15 tools that you're trying to use to do all these different things. And what HubSpot does that's unique is we pull all of those different tools into one place. And then we it's all integrated. So it's there's no software to install. You get a username and a password, and you just log in. And then we've got all the tools there at your fingertips to help you do a lot of the different things you should be doing in terms of inbound marketing. And so it saves small businesses a lot of time. And then, so that's really helpful. And then the second thing that it does is it's all pre-integrated. So we can help measure your SEO program of not only your website, but also your blog. And then when you're developing leads from those, we can actually tell you like how many leads you're getting from your blog, how many leads you're getting from your website, where those leads are coming from, are they coming from social media, all that sort of stuff. So that integration and just sort of having the simple system that sort of ties everything together, I think, is really what makes us unique, because there's a lot of tools out there to do all these things, but no one's really brought it together into one simple system that makes it easy for small and medium-sized businesses.
An integrated package is comprehensive. And you have a conference coming up, Inbound Marketing.
Yeah, so we're helping to organize and we're sponsoring this Inbound Marketing Summit, which is this year it's going to be in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So it's actually across the street from MIT. So we've got a bunch of marketing geeks that'll be hanging out there. But we've got Seth Godin, who is a very well-known kind of marketing guru and sort of the godfather of inbound marketing, because he wrote the book Permission Marketing about 10 years ago now. And then also a guy named David Meerman Scott, who has written the book New Rules of Marketing and PR. So a great book that really talks about how to use blogging and podcasting and things like that to really grow your business. So he's speaking as well. And then we've got a whole bunch of other, less well-known, but some industry experts there that know a lot about social media, blogging. If people are into podcasting, you probably know Chris Penn. He's a pretty famous podcaster. He's coming to speak. So it should be a lot of fun and a really good event. Unfortunately, the tickets are actually sold out. But if people go to – yeah, so it's – again, and what's funny about that is most conferences send out a lot of direct mail and do a lot of cold calling to get people to sign up. For this conference, I was talking to the staff that's producing it. For the Inbound Marketing Summit, they didn't place any cold calls and they didn't send any direct mail. So it was all
perfect
inbound marketing.
Inbound marketing.
Yeah, I mean, it would be bad if the Inbound Marketing Summit had to do outbound marketing to promote itself, right?
And what's the date on that?
Yeah, it's September 8th. But what I would say is, the Monday, September 8th. But what I would say to folks is, I did say tickets are sold out, but if you go to inboundmarketingsummit.com, you can actually sign up, and we're going to do the best job we can of doing a live streaming webcast of the event.
Okay.
So, and that's free. So people can go check that out, from wherever you are in the world. Just flip open the internet connection. But if you sign up today, you can get an email notification when that webcast goes live. So we're going to try to broadcast as much of the event live as we can, and that's free. So that's a great thing to check out and hear some of these awesome speakers.
And if we want to learn more about HubSpot and your blog, what's the best way to access some of the past webinars and information from HubSpot?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say there's probably the two places I would send folks is HubSpot.com, so HubSpot.com, and then also, I mentioned Website Grader. If you go there, that analysis of your website is great, and only takes a minute or two. And then from there, there's the bottom of that page of the report that you get. There's a link where you can download a webinar and get a white paper and things like that if people want more information. So
okay.
I'd say both Website Grader and HubSpot.
Okay. And then last, I always like to ask this question before we wrap up. Tell me something I don't know. And that's basically a business trend, fact, or prediction based on your industry. What are your thoughts? Tell us something we don't know.
Yeah. So to be honest, you know a lot about this stuff. So most
okay.
of the things I know, I feel like you're going to know. But
okay.
I would say maybe for the other folks out there, I really feel like there's a huge transformation going on in terms of how companies market themselves. And I think within 10 years, the entire notion of advertising and marketing is going to change completely, and most companies won't really have a marketing department. They're going to have like a media or a publishing department. So I think the whole notion of marketing is going to change.
Wow. All right. And what special offers could you present or encourage people who want to contact you? Anybody, anything that you're thinking about that we could take advantage of?
I think the best thing that we do for free all the time is those free reports on Website Grader. So I would definitely tell people go to Website Grader. It's free. It takes a minute. It's a great report. I mean, we've talked to SEO consultants that charge between $5,000 and $10,000 for a report that's very similar to that. And so this takes a minute and it's absolutely free. And that's I think the best thing that folks can get.
You probably got a target on your head. You don't say that too loud because people will be looking for you. You got a contract.
I know, yeah. You need to hide out from the SEO consultants.
Yeah. Mike, thank you so very much for taking the time to explain and share with our listening audience the whole new media, social media, and technology stuff.
Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure to be here. A lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. So thank you so very much, Mike. And again, we can reach HubSpot by... What's the website?
HubSpot.com, HUBSPOT.
All right, then. All right. Well, that is the show. So what did you learn? Specifically, what action steps are you going to take to improve your business and your profitability and your sales? Hope you took notes. Definitely download this podcast. There's a lot of great information that Mike shared about social media, podcasting, blogging, the whole new media phenomenon that's happening. So, again, that's the show. What have you learned today? How are you going to apply what you've learned? Specifically, what action steps will you implement to improve your business and increase your profitability? If you want a free consultation, you can definitely check us out at Better Sales and Profits Now. Go to bettersalesandprofitsnow.com. I have a calculator, a tool that we can predict your profitability, so check us out there. If you want looking for new ideas and strategies, you want to build your business, we have helpful tips, about close to 400. You can subscribe to our newsletters, Better Sales and Profits Now. That's Better Sales and Profits Now. Just go to the website and sign up for that. Now, if you want to be connected with passionate entrepreneurs, only passionate entrepreneurs and business owners, you can join E3C NBC Connect. Last year, we connected over 500 businesses, and this year, we're about 450. So we meet every Tuesday from 8 in the morning to 9, every Tuesday from 8 in the morning to 9 online. So go to mybusinesscommunity.com. That's my-business-community.com. Go to the event section, the weekly announcements, and sign up. So thank you so very much for listening in. Thank you, Mike, again from HubSpot. Dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, stay profitable, and go make that sale. Brian Hundley, New Wine Music, take us out.